God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking today about what I call the omnipotence of love. The omnipotence of love. There are probably some children listening to me today. I'm quite sure that every day there are some children somewhere listening, and you're going to be saying, "Mom, what in the world? What was that word she said?" Omnipotence means all-powerfulness. O-M-N-I-P-O-T-E-N-C-E. Kind of a long word, but it describes the love of God. There is no limit to the love of God. There are limits to your love for your pet canary, maybe. Now, maybe you love that pet canary more than you love your parents or you love anybody else in the whole world, but sometimes you get a little tired of cleaning out the canary's cage, don't you? Or you don't just feel like feeding the canary today, or feeding the dog or the cat or the goat or whatever it is you got. God's love never gives out. He is never tired of us. He loves us with an everlasting love. And underneath are what? You know, the everlasting arms. There's a girl named Amy Beth Larson who works with an organization called Child Evangelism Fellowship. And Amy Beth works in an inner city. And she writes rather remarkable and very unusual prayer letters. And I have a page from one of her prayer letters. It's sort of dark purplish-pink paper. And she tells us a story about a little girl named Lizzie. Lizzie, now she's a tough one, says Amy Beth. All 2.5 feet of her. In her 5 short years of life, she's gained the throne of at least one kingdom, the block we both live on. Some days I feel like my primary ministry here is comforting the kids that Lizzie hits or teases. She's a ball of fire. Lizzie often weasels her way into my house and puts on the charm, hoping I'll give her a popsicle or a cookie. It was one of those times, and just like always, a big smile broke across my face as I heard her little feet thumping down the stairs. She looked at me, gave me a hug, opened the refrigerator door, and checked out its contents. Then she turned to me, and with a little despair in her voice, she said, "Oh, A.B., I miss that other girl." Wendy, my roommate, had recently moved out to go back to school, and though the kids knew this would happen, they all still missed her. I picked up Lizzie, held her in my arms, and said, "I missed Wendy, too." I asked her if she wanted to write Wendy a letter, and she jumped out of my arms to find a marker. As I pulled up a chair, Lizzie climbed into my lap. I pushed the clutter to the other side of the table and folded a piece of typing paper in half. Lizzie wrapped her small hand around the marker and started to print unrecognizable letters on the makeshift card. Every few seconds, she'd ask me something like, "How do you draw an L?" or "What does a D look like?" About half a sheet of illegible red markings later, she looked at me with big brown eyes and said, "How do you draw love?" It was a question I've never been asked before. But the answer didn't seem too hard. I took the red marker and carefully made a cross on the paper and said, "That's how you draw love." She seemed satisfied with my answer and proceeded to fill the rest of her paper with crosses, telling me that she wanted Wendy to know just how much she loved her. 2 days later, I hand-delivered that letter and couldn't help thinking about it as I carried it in my pocket. I tried to explain to Lizzie that Jesus died on the cross, and without acknowledging my question, she rattled off, "Yeah, he loves us." She knew that. I know that. So, Lizzie drew love as many times as it would fit on that paper. Her card was simply a piece of typing paper with as much love as she could fit on it. She had learned what love was a few years back, and now that she had learned how to draw it, there was no stopping her. "And some days, I want to be more like Lizzie," says Amy Beth. "I want there to be no stopping me from filling every corner of my world with the shadow of the cross. I want to spend myself on drawing love in a world that hardly knows what it is." It seemed so natural to hear Lizzie's reply, "Yeah, he loves us." But it wasn't just knowledge to her. It was truth. And she spent part of an afternoon communicating that love to someone else as she carefully constructed her simple letter. We all seem to be pretty knowledgeable these days, but truth, now that's a rarity. But even so, every once in a while, you'll find a piece of it where least expected. Christ painted us quite a picture when he gave his life on the cross. He offered us truth when he chose love. And Amy Beth puts at the bottom of her pink letter, "God has not called me to be successful. He has called me to be faithful." And that's a quote from Mother Teresa of India. The Bible says, "This is how we know what love is, that Christ laid down his life for us, and we in our turn must lay down our lives for each other." Do you know what it means to lay down your life? One time I was talking about this in a big church meeting, and it's a pretty tough concept, even for grown-ups. But it's a very essential concept, and little Lizzie understood all that a 5-year-old needed to understand, that love meant a cross to Jesus, and that cross means love to you and me. And so I was trying to get these words across to the mostly grown-up people in that church meeting, but then I looked down, and here on the front row was a whole family of little children with their father and mother. And I thought, oh dear, how am I going to get across the idea of laying down your life when I'm talking to little children? Well, I don't really remember what I said, but later I got a letter from a 7-year-old boy. And he told me this. He said, "After I went to church that night and heard you talk about laying down your life, I began learning how to lay down my life for my little sister. She has to take a nap in the afternoon. I don't have to take a nap. I'm too big for a nap. But she can't go to sleep unless I lay down with her." And so he said, "I'm learning to lay down my life. I lay down with my little sister every afternoon at 2:00. Now that is reality. That is love. Love is all powerful. And the love of God overcomes our reluctance. I don't suppose that little boy enjoyed lying down every afternoon at 2:00. He didn't have to go to sleep. It wasn't his time to take a nap. But that little boy was finding joy in that, I'm sure, or he wouldn't have bothered to write me a letter and tell me about it. God gave him joy in the laying down of his life. What are our expectations in life? Pain, certainly. Misunderstanding, isolation, ridicule, perhaps. Of course, we can expect things like that. Are we prepared to be one with Christ in his helplessness, his darkness, his weakness, his death? He said, inasmuch as you've done it for one of the least of these, one of these little ones, my brothers, you have done it for me. Amy Beth has chosen to lay down her life for the little children of that neighborhood, little children whose fathers have been killed in front of their eyes, children whose mothers are on drugs, children who live in a very small apartment with dozens of aunts and uncles and cousins, most of whom are spaced out or drugged out there on the mattresses on the floor. Amy Beth is showing them the love of Christ, teaching them about the cross of Jesus Christ. God is love. Love is powerful. Love is omnipotent. Many waters, the Bible says, cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. Love never fails. That doesn't mean that love always succeeds in its object. It means that love never gives out. The supply of love that is poured out upon us from our Heavenly Father is never ending. Grace is the pouring out of Himself for you and me. One of my very favorite hymns for as long as I can remember was Beneath the Cross of Jesus. I love the stanza that says, I take, O cross, thy shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain or loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross.
Anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.